السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم، من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. يقسم الله تعالى بالعصر الذي هو مستودع أعمال بني آدم التي أحصيت عليهم كما قال رب العزة والجلال في الحديث: إنما هي أعمالكم أحصيها عليكم فمن وجد خيرا فليحمد الله ومن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه. لذا فقد تنبه سلفنا الصالح إلى هذه المعاني فأولوا الزمن حقه من الرعاية واستعملوه لبناء آخرتهم وإرضاء ربهم على أكمل وجه. وقد نصحوا أبلغ النصح لمن جاء بعدهم للاعتناء بالزمن، كما قال الحسن البصري: يا ابن آدم إنما أنت أيام، إذا ذهب يوم ذهب بعضك. وقال: يا ابن آدم نهارك ضيق، نهارك ضيفك، فأحسن إليه، فإنك إن أحسنت إليه ارتحل بحمدك، وإن أسأت إليه ارتحل بذمك، وكذلك ليلتك. وقال رحمه الله: الدنيا ثلاثة أيام، أما الأمس فقد ذهب بما فيه، وأما غدا فلعلك لا تدركه، وأما اليوم فلك فاعمل فيه. وقال ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه: ما ندمت على شيء، ندمي على يوم غربت شمسه نقص فيه أجلي ولم يزدد فيه عملي. وقال ابن القيم رحمه الله: إضاعة الوقت أشد من الموت، لأن إضاعة الوقت تقطعك عن الله والدار الآخرة، والموت يقطعك عن الدنيا وأهلها. وقال السري بن المفلس: إن اغتممت بما ينقص من مالك فابكي على ما ينقص من عمرك. إن اغتممت بما ينقص من مالك فابكي على ما ينقص من عمرك. ألا واعلموا أن من أعظم الأيام والشهور في حياة المسلم ذلكم الشهر الذي عني به أسلافنا عليهم رحمة الله، أيما عناية من قبل دخوله وبعد خروجه. ألا وهو الشهر الذي أنزل فيه القرآن، أنزل الله تعالى فيه أعظم كتاب وأصدق كلام، قال سبحانه: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. ولذا كان سلفنا رحمهم الله يعتنون بالليل في رمضان خاصة كعنايتهم بالنهار، بل أكثر، إذ أن ذلك يعد أكبر معين بإذن الله على صيام مقوم للنفوس. قال ابن رجب الحنبلي رحمه الله في حديث فاطمة رضي الله عنها صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه أخبرها أن جبريل عليه السلام كان يعارضه القرآن كل عام مرة، وأنه عارضه في عام وفاته مرتين، متفق عليه. وفي حديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن المدارسة بينه وبين جبريل كانت ليلا، متفق عليه. دل ذلك على استحباب الإكثار من التلاوة في رمضان ليلا، فإن الليل تنقطع فيه الشواغل وتجتمع فيه الهمم ويتواطأ فيه القلب واللسان على التدبر، كما قال تعالى: إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوى مقيلا. وشهر رمضان له خصوصية بالقرآن، كما أخبر الله عز وجل في قوله سبحانه: إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر. وقال تعالى: حميم والكتاب المبين: إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم أمرا من عندنا إنا كنا منزلين. وقال سبحانه: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. لقد كان الأسود بن يزيد النخعي رحمه الله تعالى، وهو من تلامذة وأصحاب ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه، يزيد يختم القرآن في رمضان في كل ليلتين، وكان ينام بين المغرب والعشاء، وكان يختم القرآن في غير رمضان في كل 6 ليال. وهكذا كان مالك بن أنس الأصبحي إمام دار الهجرة رحمه الله تعالى، إذا دخل رمضان يفر من الحديث، يعني تحديث الناس بحديث رسول الله، يفر من الحديث ومجالسه، ويفر من مجالسة أهل العلم، ويقبل على تلاوة القرآن من المصحف مع أنه يستظهره عن ظهر قلب. وهكذا كان سفيان الثوري رضي الله تعالى عنه، إذا دخل رمضان ترك جميع العباد وأقبل على قراءة القرآن. وكان سعيد بن جبير يختم القرآن في كل ليلتين، وكان زبيد اليامي إذا حضر رمضان أحضر المصحف وجمع إليه أصحابه أن يتدارسون القرآن. وكان الوليد بن عبد الملك الخليفة يختم في كل 3، وختم في رمضان 17 ختمة. قال أبو عوانة الوضاح اليشكري: شهدت قتادة، يعني ابن دعامة السدوسي الإمام، يدرس القرآن في رمضان أي يقرأه مع غيره، وكان قتادة يختم القرآن في 7، فإذا جاء رمضان ختم في كل 3، فإذا جاء 10 ختم كل ليلة. وقال الربيع بن سليمان: كان الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى يختم القرآن في شهر رمضان 60 ختمة، وفي كل شهر 30 ختمة. وكان وكيع ابن الجراح الرؤاسي رحمه الله تعالى، وهو من أئمة السلف، يقرأ في رمضان في الليل 1/3، يقرأ في الليل 1/3، ويصلي 12 ركعة من الضحى، ويصلي من الظهر إلى العصر ما شاء الله. وكان الإمام محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري صاحب الصحيح يختم في رمضان في النهار كل يوم 1، ويقوم بعد التراويح كل 3 ليال بختمة. ولما كان رمضان هو شهر القرآن، وكان إنزاله فيه بليل، عني السلف بهذا الوقت العزيز. قال الحسن البصري: لم أجد في جوف الليل. وقال أبو عثمان النهدي: تضيفت أبا هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه 7، أي 7 ليال، فكان هو وامرأته وخادمه يقسمون الليل 3، يصلي هذا ثم يوقظ هذا ثم يوقظ هذا. وكان شداد بن أوس إذا أوى إلى فراشه كأنه حبة على مقلاة، ثم يقول: اللهم إن جهنم لا تدعني أنام، فيقوم إلى مصلاه. وكان طاووس بن كيسان اليماني يثب من على فراشي ثم يتطهر ويستقبل القبلة حتى الصباح ويقول: طير ذكر جهنم نوم العابدين. وعن السائب بن يزيد قال: أمرني عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: أمر عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه أبي بن كعب وتميما الداري رضي الله عنهما أن يقوما للناس في رمضان، فكان القارئ يقرأ بالمئين حتى كنا نعتمد على العصي من طول القيام، ما كنا ننصرف إلا في فروع الفجر. أخرجه البيهقي. وعن مالك بن عبد الله وعن مالك بن أنس عن عبد الله بن أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنهما قال: سمعت أبي يقول: كنا ننصرف في رمضان من القيام فيستعجل الخدم فنستعجل الخدم بالطعام مخافة الفجر. أخرجه مالك في الموطأ. وعن أبي عثمان النهدي قال: أمر عمر بثلاثة قراء يقرؤون في رمضان، فأمر أسرعهم أن يقرأ بثلاثين آية، يعني في الركعة الواحدة، وأمر أوسطهم أن يقرأ بخمس وعشرين، وأمر أدناهم أن يقرأ بعشرين. أخرجه عبد الرزاق في المصنف. وعن داود بن الحصين عن عبد الرحمن بن هرمز قال: كان القراء يقومون بسورة البقرة في ثمان ركعات، فإذا قام بها القراء في اثنتي عشرة ركعة رأى الناس أنه قد خفف عنهم. أخرجه البيهقي. نعم أيها الناس، هذا هو حال سلفنا، وإن فيهم لأسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله والدار الآخرة. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم الجليل لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين والشافع المشفع يوم الدين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وصحابته الغر الميامين، وبالأخص منهم خلفائه الأربعة الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، غيظ قلوب الكافرين والمنافقين، وصلى الله عليهم أجمعين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن الله قد جعل لكل شيء سببا، وإن من الأسباب المعينة على قيام الليل ما ذكره أسلافنا الناصحون الذين قد سمعتم طرفا من سيرتهم وكيف كان شأنهم مع الليل. فقد قال بعضهم: إن هناك أسبابا ظاهرة وأخرى باطنة ميسرة لقيام الليل. فأما الأسباب الظاهرة فأربعة أمور: الأول أن لا يكثر الأكل فيكثر الشرب فيغلبه النوم ويثقل عليه القيام. الأول أن لا يكثر الأكل فيضطر مع ذلك إلى الإكثار من الشرب فيغلبه النوم لامتلاء الجوف فيثقل عليه القيام. وأما الثاني أن لا يتعب نفسه بالنهار بما لا فائدة فيه. والثالث أن لا يترك القيلولة بالنهار فإنها تعين على قيام الليل. والرابع أن لا يرتكب الأوزار، وقد يكون هذا أهمها، أن لا يرتكب الأوزار بالنهار فيحرم قيام الليل. وأما الأسباب الباطنة فأربعة أمور: الأول سلامة القلب عن الحقد عن المسلمين وعن البدع وعن فضول الدنيا وعن الشرك بالله عز وجل. والثاني خوف غالب يلزب القلب مع قصر الأمل، خوف غالب يعني من الموت وما يكون بعد الموت، يلزم القلب فيجعله مضطرب رجاعا إلى الله. مع قصر الأمل أعواما عديدة. والحق أنه ينبغي أن لا يمني نفسه بتلك الأماني حتى يجتهد في الطاعة. والثالث أن يعرف فضل قيام الليل. والرابع وهو أشرف البواعث الحب لله وقوة الإيمان بأنه في قيامه لا يتكلم بحرف إلا وهو مناج به ربه. وإن أعظم ما يكون من الأسباب المعينة على صيام مثمر أعظم الأجور وقيام مرض للعزيز الغفور ما جاء عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس بالخير وكان أجود ما يكون في شهر رمضان. إن جبريل عليه السلام كان يلقاه في كل سنة من رمضان حتى ينسلخ فيعرض عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم القرآن فإذا لقيه جبريل كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود بالخير من الريح المرسلة. متفق عليه. قال المهلب وفيه بركة أعمال الخير وأن بعضها يفتح بعضا ويعين على بعض. ألا ترى أن بركة الصيام ولقاء جبريل وعرضه القرآن عليه زاد في جود النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصدقته حتى كان أجود من الريح المرسلة. وقال الزين بن المنير أي فيعم خيره وبره من هو بصفة الفقر والحاجة ومن هو بصفة الغنى والكفاية أكثر مما يعم الغيث الناشئة عن الريح المرسلة فصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. وقال ابن رجب قال الشافعي رضي الله عنه أحب للرجل الزيادة بالجود في شهر رمضان اقتداء برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولحاجة الناس فيه إلى مصالحهم ولتشاغل كثير منهم بالصوم والصلاة عن مكاسبهم. نعم يا عباد الله. ولكن يذهب كثير من الناس إلى تأجيل إخراج زكاتهم أو تعجيلها في شهر رمضان يقولون لحاجة الناس والمساكين. نعم ولكن ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعله ليس هذا وإنما كان يخرج من غير الزكاة من الصدقة يجود بالصدقة في رمضان. أما أن تعجل إخراج زكاة مالك في رمضان أو تؤخره إلى رمضان فإن هذا ليس من الجود فإن الزكاة ليس جودا منك وكرم وإنما حق افترضه عليك من أعطاك هذا المال فلست تجود بما وجب عليك وإنما تجود بما فضل في يدك فتعطيه للفقراء والمساكين في شهر الصوم وبذلك تكون ممن اتصف بهذه الصفة أنه كان جوادا في شهر رمضان. فتهيأوا لاستقبال شهركم يا رعاكم الله وأعدوا له عدته وأروا ربكم فيه ما يرضيه. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة
حاضر رسول الله حال بين المنافذ والأقدام لا تدعوا خرجات للشيطان. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تبارك الذي جعل في السماء وجعل فيها سراجا وقمرا منيرا وهو الذي جعل الليل والنهار خلفة لمن أراد أن يذكر أو أراد شكورا وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابنا كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما والذين إذا وكان بين ذلك قواما والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب ويخلد فيه مهانا يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله متابا. الله أكبر. يا الله لمن حمده الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والذين لا يشهدون الزور وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيها حسنت مستقرا ومقاما قل ما يعبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم فقد كذبتم فسوف يكون لزاما. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم أنت السلام عليك السلام وتبارك الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أهل الذكرى والفخر والمؤمنين ونذكر به شروع الإصلاح عند الصديق الفيش المعتادة في كل عام ونذكر بأنه إلى الآن نحن اليوم 21 من شعبان، حقيقة لم يجتمع إلا ما كان يكفي لشراء الماء فقد جلد الماء، أما اللبن وعادة الوجبة تكون تمرات وقارورة ماء صغيرة وقارورة دبن صغيرة. أما اللبن وتراوع عادة في الرسل ما يبدأ الطعام مثلا إلى 15 أمام إن شاء الله الرحمن حسب كثرة المسافرين. لكن من الآن نجتمع منهم إلا شيء قليل جدا، فأحببنا أن نذكر لأنه إن لم يجتمع فربما قصرنا على المعركة، وهذا الإنسان يذكر. وأيضا نبهنا من قبل أن من يريد المشاركة به وحقيقة هو أمر مهم وأكثر من تبرع المال، نحتاج التبرع العمل، لأن حقيقة الإحصار يحبون أن يشارك هذا الطيب، وهذا كان قصدنا بالأساس تنشئة هؤلاء الأطفال في هذا المعسكر على حب المساهمة بأعمال الخير، فإذا كبروا كان هذا الدهر ما يكون لسنة عالية قبل ويتصل بالراحة والطعام الناس. لكن الأطفال وحدهم لا يقوم على هذه المهمة، لابد من كبير معهم كل يوم حتى يقوم من السيارات ومن كذا. فنحن نريد من الأخوة الذين يستطيعون لو يتبرع فيهم يقال أريد اليوم الفلاني، فيكون عندنا معرفة من يكون هذا اليوم فنعين له ذلك اليوم. فنسأل الله عز وجل أن يبارك في الجهد وأن يظاهر الخير وأن يوفقنا وإياكم ويزيدنا الطاعة وأن يهيئنا وإياكم لدخول جنته. والله أعلم، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعد، حياكم الله dear brothers and sisters to the translation of this khutbah of today which is titled by Advices from the Salaf in regard to Ramadan. We began the khutbah as you hear by khutbah al-haja and then I recited the Surah Al-Asr, where Allah Ta'ala swears by Al-Asr, which is the time, which is the record or the envelope of the human being deeds, which are going to be counted on them, as Allah Ta'ala said in the hadith reported by Imam Muslim, on the authority of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari رضي الله تعالى عنه. Verily it is only your deeds that I'm counting on you, that I'm counting for you. So whoever finds any good, let him then to praise Allah and thank him. And whoever finds evil, blame no one but himself. And that's why our pious predecessors, the Salaf al-Salih of our Ummah, they paid much attention and high attention to these meanings. So they gave the time its proper right. And they used it to build up their Akhirah. And they used it to build up their Akhirah. And please their Lord on the best way of what they can do. And also they advise those who come after them to to give much care to the time. As Al-Hasan al-Basri said, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, Innama anta ayyam, verily you are only days. So when one day passes away, when one day passed, then part of you has passed already. And he said, O son of Adam, your day is only a guest. Your day is only a guest that you host, that you have. So do good to it. As if you do good to it, it will leave you praising you. But if you do bad to it, then it will leave you. Definitely it will leave. But it will leave dispraising you. And the like is your night. And he said, this worldly life is of 3 nights, or 3 days. Yesterday, which is gone, with whatever you have done in it, it's gone, finished, you cannot bring it back. Yesterday is yesterday. And the second is tomorrow, which you don't know if you are going to catch it or not. And the third is today, which you are living in. So do good in the one you are living in to have the correction and forgiveness of what you mistaken in the past and yesterday. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, I never feel sorry for anything like the day that I lived in and the sun sat down in it. The sun sat in it. And the sun sat in it. In it, by the sunset, part of my life has gone. But nothing of my good deeds has increased. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, wasting time is much harder than death. And then he justified that. He said, death will only cut you from this worldly life and the people of it. But wasting time will cut you from Allah and the hereafter. And As-Sari ibn al-Muflis said, if you feel sorry and sad for whatsoever money you lost, then you should be more sorry for your life that you wasted. That's gone. And you did not do good in it. And from the best days, from the best days and months in the life of the Muslim, is that month which our pious brothers and sisters gave much care to it. That is the month in which Allah Ta'ala descended the best speech, and the most honest speech, and the best book, which is the Quran, as Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 185, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The month of Ramadan, in which the Quran was descended as a guidance for mankind and a guidance from the Huda, which is guidance, and Furqan, the distribution between the truth and false. And that's why our Salaf, our pious brothers and sisters, used to give much care to the night time of Ramadan, like the care that they give to the daytime of Ramadan and more. Every one of us give care to day of Ramadan because he's fasting. But at night, everybody's eating, drinking, and they just forget worship. And that's why we see people, mashallah, in daytime, they always hold the Quran. But at night time, where are they? Either in the market, or looking to the TVs, or like that. Playing, talking, that's it. But the pious brothers and sisters of this ummah gave much care to the night as well. Look at that. Ibn Rajab said that in the hadith of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, which she reported from her father sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he told her that Jibreel alayhi salam used to come every year and review the Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time. Up until it was the last year of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came twice. Jibreel came twice. It means that they reviewed the Quran two times in Ramadan. And you're talking about the head of the best of the angels and the best of mankind. Best of angels and best of mankind. They recited the Quran in every Ramadan one time, and in the last Ramadan Rasulullah had, they recited it two times. Fully. How many times we recite the Quran? SubhanAllah. And in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, it indicated, that is also agreed upon, indicated that this revision of Quran between Jibreel and Rasulullah used to take place at night, not in the day, at night. At night. And this emphasizes the importance of the much reciting of the Quran in Ramadan, and especially at night. Why? Simply because night time, ikhwan, less commitments. You're free. So you can do much of worship, and when you stand before Allah Ta'ala, you are freeing your heart. And that's why they said that it is the time when the heart and the tongue work together to concentrate on the Quran. They work together. And daytime your heart is out of function, meaning not concentrating on what the tongue is reciting. But at night you have nothing to get involved in. Now, and the month of Ramadan has a special case with the Quran, as you hear in Surah Al-Baqarah 185, that it is the month that Allah Ta'ala descended the Quran in. And look to some of our scholars during the time, yani, of the predecessors in the past, far past. Al-Aswad ibn Yazid, one of the students and companions of Ibn Mas'ud in Iraq, he used to recite the Quran in every Ramadan, and every two nights he finishes the Quran in every two nights. And he used to sleep between Maghrib and Isha to get some rest. And he used to recite the Quran. And this is one important thing. Today we still have 9 days or 8 days till Ramadan. What can we do in these days to prepare ourselves? Look, Al-Aswad ibn Yazid. He used to finish the Quran in every two nights in Ramadan. But in other than Ramadan, he used to finish in every six nights. Now we have 8 nights. Can we finish the Quran in these 8 nights? So we succeed in Ramadan to finish it in, let's say, 3 nights or 5 nights. Now, but if you get lazy from now, how you get active there? Now, of Medina, whenever, and he is Imam of Hadith, very famous Imam of Hadith, and he used to teach the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But whenever Ramadan comes, he stops the hadith and he avoids sitting with the ulama, even the ulama, and he free himself for reciting the Quran from the book, although he memorizes, all these scholars memorize the Quran. Abu Hanifa, Malik, Ahmad, Shafi'i, those yani people memorize the Quran from boyhood, but reciting the Quran from the book has a special yani effect on the heart, and especially you are. Now, Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the Imams also, used, whenever Ramadan enters, whenever Ramadan approaches, he used to avoid and abandon every mankind and just concentrate on Quran. He is one of the scholars of Hadith as well. You hear this name in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and the books of Hadith, some of it. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, one of the Tabi'een, the students of the Sahaba, used to recite the Quran every two nights. Zubayd al-Yami, also one of the Salaf, whenever Ramadan comes, he brings his Quran, the book, and he brings his students and companions. They say, okay, sitting, alright, reciting Quran, circle of Quran, yalla, bismillah, nothing else. Don't ask about even tafsir, the interpretation, only reciting the Quran. That's how they used to do with Ramadan. Al-Walid ibn Abdul Malik, the Khalifa, if you think that you are busy, how busy you are compared to a Khalifa? The Khalifa himself used to recite the Quran every three nights, and in Ramadan he recited the whole Quran for 17 times. What a free man he was. He wasn't that free, he was too busy. But whatsoever thing yani in our lives cannot take the same value of Quran. Quran first. Abu Awana al-Waddah al-Yashkuri, one of the Salaf, he said that I witnessed Qatada ibn Da'am al-Sadusi, one of the narrators of Hadith, not from the companions, he used to recite the Quran and teach the Quran in Ramadan. It does not mean that other than Ramadan they don't care about Quran. La, they care, as you hear. But in Ramadan they give much care. He said that Qatada used to recite the Quran in every seven nights in other than Ramadan. When Ramadan comes, he used to recite the Quran and finish it in every three nights. And when the last 10 nights of Ramadan comes, he used to recite the whole Quran every night. Every night, he used to recite the whole Quran. Now, Al-Rabi' ibn Sulaiman, one of the Salaf, said that Al-Imam al-Shafi'i used to finish reciting the Quran in Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, 60 times. 60. 60. In the months other than Ramadan, 30 times, yani meaning in every night one time, but in Ramadan every night 2 times. And he was the Imam Shafi'i, Imam. Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, one of the Imams as well, used to recite the Quran in Ramadan, and every night one full time, yani Quran, and one third, yani he finished from Baqarah to An-Nas, and then 10 juzu more. Look at that. Now, and he used to pray 12 rak'at in duha time, from the sun rises until just before zin. He used to pray 12 rak'at. And he used to pray from after dhuhr until asr. He does not sit and talk and ask what type of food we have today. No. He just keep himself busy with worshiping. Imam Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail Bukhari, rahimahullah, used to recite the Quran in Ramadan, yani in Ramadan, in daytime, he used to finish reciting the Quran one time, every day, in the daytime. And when the night comes, he prays the Taraweeh with the people, and after Taraweeh he recite the Quran and finish it in every 3 nights. Look at that. So when Ramadan took this much of the care of the Salaf, and that was because the descending of the Quran in the nights of Ramadan, they gave the night this much care. Al-Hasan al-Basri said, I never found anything as hard as of the worship. I never found any worship as hard as praying at the middle of the night. It's hard. It's not that easy. What does that mean? Not everybody can do it. Only the serious ones. Only the real believers, the strong believers. Those are the ones who can do it. Abu Uthman al-Nahdi, one of the Salaf as well, said that, I asked Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu to host me, to take me as a guest. And I saw him for 7 nights, I was in his house, in the house of Abu Huraira. He said that I was there for 7 nights, and I saw him, and every night they cut the night, or separate the night in 3 shares. Abu Huraira stands 1/3 of the night praying, reciting Quran, and then he wakes up his wife. His wife stands up and recites 1/3 of the night, and then his wife wakes up the housemaid. Even the housemaid, look to this beautiful house. Even the housemaid. And it was said that one of the Salaf had a slave, female slave, who used to be like housemaid. And he needed some money, so he sold this housemaid. She was sorry that she left this house. And she was sold to a believer. A believer. But when she came for first night in that new house, she found them standing for prayer only for little, and they sleep. In the morning she said to the man, please, can you sell me out? He said, why? She said, I never come to use sleep or see people sleeping at night. The house where I was, people are standing for prayer and you guys are sleeping. Subhanallah. And Shaddad ibn Aus used, whenever he goes to his bed, feel like if he's a seed put on a fire. You know, when you put a seed in a pot, dry pot, no water, no oil, or the corn, the popcorn, what will happen to it? Jumps, right? So he used to, whenever he goes to bed, he feel like fire beneath him. He doesn't feel happy to stay. And then he says, O Allah, verily Jahannam does not leave me sleep. Does not leave me sleep. Does not leave me to sleep. Does not allow me to sleep. He remembers the Jahannam and he stands for prayer. Tawus ibn Kaysan al-Yamani, one of the Imams in Yemen, used, whenever he goes to bed, he sleeps just for a little while, and then he jumps off the bed like if he saw a nightmare, and then he performs wudu and stands facing the Qibla up until the morning, and then he says the remembrance of Jahannam prevented the believers from sleeping, stopped believers from sleeping. And As-Sa'ib ibn Yazid said that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was the Khalifa, he commanded Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu and Tamim al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, two companions. He brought these two companions because they were the memorizers and nice reciters of Quran. He told them, you lead the Taraweeh prayers. And then what he said to them? And they used to recite by the hundreds of ayat, bil mi'in, meaning hundreds Long, long recitation. He said, Saif said, up until we used to carry, to hold sticks with us, so we don't collapse, we don't fall, because of the long, long standing. And he said, and we never used to leave the prayer, except just by Fajr. Just by Fajr. And only little time, enough to eat, and come back for Fajr prayer. And this is reported by Bayhaqi. Malik ibn Anas said that Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhuma said to him that, I heard my father saying, we used to leave the night prayers in Ramadan and go running to the houses calling the servants to bring the food quickly, because we were afraid that the Fajr just falls on us. It means that whole night they were involved in praying. And this is reported by Malik in Muwatta. Abu Uthman al-Nahdi said that Umar ibn Khattab wrote three of the memorizers of Quran, and he told him to lead the Taraweeh. And he told the one who recites fast, you recite 30 ayat in each rak'ah. 30 ayat in each rak'ah, because you are reciting fast. And when we say fast, it's not like the people who recite fast today. No. Maybe like the slowest of our people today. Now, and the one who's in the middle, he told him to recite 25 ayat. While the one who's very slow, he told him to recite 20 ayat in each rak'ah. In each rak'ah. And this is reported by Abdul Razzaq in his book Al-Musannaf. And on the authority of Dawood ibn Husayn from Abdul Rahman ibn Hormuz, he said that the reciters in Salat Taraweeh used to recite Surah Al-Baqarah in 8 rak'at. Whole Surah Al-Baqarah in 8 rak'at. Today even the Haram in Mecca, they recite 1 juz' and 1/4 of the other juz'. And Surah Al-Baqarah is 3 juz'. And they recited in how much rak'at? 23 rak'at. They used to recite the whole Surah Al-Baqarah in 8 rak'at. In 8 rak'at. See how long is 1 rak'at. And whenever any of these recited Surah Al-Baqarah in 12 rak'at, people think that, oh, today it was easy, because they had it in 12 rak'at. And this is reported by Al-Bayhaqi as well. This was the first part, the first khutbah, and then second khutbah began with praising Allah and sending peace and blessings of Rasulullah. And then I said, oh people, verily Allah Ta'ala gave a reason, a cause for everything to happen, as Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Kahf. Okay? And from the thing that helped you standing in the night prayers is what our predecessors told us and advised us. As you heard how they used to, let us ask them, how could you pray all this long prayer? Now they're going to tell us how. Some of them said that there are 4 apparent reasons and 4 hidden reasons. Hidden by the meaning that from inside your heart. Now, the 4 apparent reasons, one is you don't eat much. Yani, mashallah, fasting all day, and then at Maghrib, the meal is from here to there. Every type of food. So how come you go and pray? And that's why everybody complaining. Wallahi, everybody complaining. Everybody complaining. Too long, too long, too long. Too long? What is too long? Compared to what we hear now, what is too long? Wallahi, if the Sahaba and the Salaf come and see us praying Taraweeh, they think we are kidding. They will not believe that we are praying. How come, Ikhwan? And We are in the time where the fitna is everywhere and iman is very little and the evil is spreaded. So we need a lot of support. This only comes by like these things. Standing, praying. Now, they said the first reason that you, or the first thing that helps you in standing for night prayers is you don't eat much, so you don't need to drink much, because once you eat much, you will feel thirsty. So you will drink much. And when you eat and drink and your stomach is full, then what you need to do? Sleep. That's all. And that's why, come in Taraweeh, you hear people, oh, what is that? What is that? Coming where? Subhanallah. And the second, you don't get yourself yani too busy in the daytime and think that is not yani problem. Or going marketing. What marketing, akhi? What are you going to eat? Akhi, this is not the month of eating. And yani unfortunately there are special plates for Ramadan today. In India, in Bangladesh, in Yemen, in Sudan, in Nigeria, in Saudi Arabia, in America, and everywhere, every people have their own special dishes of Ramadan. Subhanallah. I wanted to know one special dish from the Salaf, I never know. I know only one. Dates. Dates is the special dish of the Salaf in Ramadan. There is none. I used to have special dishes in Ramadan. La ya ikhwan. This is not correct, subhanAllah. So, you don't get yourself busy in daytime. And as I said to, and in some places, in some parts of the world, the day goes very long. Like in the West, sometimes goes to 14 hours. And sometimes 15 maybe. Right? So the guys there ask, it's to us, the weather there to us is cold, like this weather. But like this weather there is hot for them. They are either below zero or just near yani above zero. So like this 25, 30 degrees, it's extremely hot. So what can they do? I said, ya akhi, instead of taking your annual holidays to go to Switzerland or to go to here or there, akhi, take it in Ramadan. Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala mentioned fasting in the Quran by other name, other than fasting. Anybody knows what it is? Allah Ta'ala said, وَالسَّائِحُونَ وَالسَّائِحَاتِ. You know what is سَائِحُونَ and سَائِحَاتِ? You know سِيَاحَة? سِيَاحَة is tourism. Tourism. Today tourism is only known by, yani, as visiting other sites of the world. Or go to South Africa, see the beauty of the nature and La, this is not the proper siyaha for a believer. The proper tourism for a believer is fasting. Fasting. That is the siyaha. Why? You leave, now these tourists leave their countries and their lands to go and see other places. Now you leave this world and live with Allah. Only. Daytime you are fasting, nighttime you are praying. So you are only with Allah. That's the real tourism. Huh? And people need to go on annual holidays for tourism. Why? Because they worked for 11 months and now they are tired and they don't want to stay where they are because this reminds them of the 11 months, so they go refresh. Good. 11 months you are listening in worship. Ramadan comes as a refreshment for you. So you refresh yourself and your heart during the month of Ramadan. Now, not by enjoying movies and songs and playing cards or whatsoever, la, by showing Allah Ta'ala what pleases Him. The third is, you don't abandon what is called qaylula. You need to have a nap, sleep, and at the middle of the day. After you pray dhuhr, if you have no work, you go for bed. You don't go for marketing. You go for bed a while. At least an hour before Asr, so when you wake up, you work strong, and at night it helps you standing for prayer. And one very, 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 very important thing that help you, that help you, is to avoid committing sins during the daytime. You have work, okay, no problem. You can take holiday from work, no problem. You go work, because not everybody can take holidays. And if in Saudi Arabia all the Muslims take holidays, who's going to run the country? Okay, you go to work, what do you do? Did you see what Faisal said? Okay, what is that? What is your fasting? If your fasting cannot stop you from this bad habit, then what is the benefit of this fasting? Lying. He come late to work, I had a flat tire. He never had a flat tire. I came to run the car, but it took me a long time to stop. What are you doing? You should not stop eating. You should not. Because you have no reward for this fasting. You are destroying your fasting. Now, the other four hidden things that help you in standing for prayers at night is, first of all, freeing your heart. We mentioned this last Friday and the Friday before. Freeing yourself from hatred against Muslims. You forgive all of your Muslim brothers. And once again, many people say, okay, I forgive Faisal, khalas. Faisal accused me and mocked me and oppressed me. Khalas, I forgive him. Today, Shaban, and the 15th Shaban, I have to forgive him, so Allah forgives me. Okay. Fahd comes and says, Muhammad, did you know that Faisal is sick? Yeah, I know. Let's go and visit him. Khalas. Enough is enough. I don't want to have anything with this guy. Khalas, finish. What is the meaning of forgive him? You said you forgive him. What is the meaning of... Okay, let me ask you a question. You committed a sin. Do you think that Allah is pleased with this sin or displeased? Displeased? Okay. When you seek forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala is pleased or displeased? Allah is pleased. What if we say, as you said, on your principle, Allah forgives you, but Allah would not give you any sustenance, khalas, doesn't want to have nothing with you, Allah will cut you. Is this something good? So why you're doing it with the Muslim brother? When you forgive, you forgive. It means like if nothing happened. So you go back to the first day. And some even told that, so and so passed away. خلاص رحمه الله. Let's go for janazah. رحمه الله خلاص. أعوذ بالله. Or maybe you say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. He passed away, Alhamdulillah. أعوذ بالله. This is really, what do we call that? I don't know, subhanAllah. And also you free your heart from the shirk. Meaning, you don't have any trust on anyone but Allah. Your love in your heart is only for Allah. And also, you free your heart from the bid'ah, innovations. You have to be serious before Ramadan. You have to leave all this and be a slave for Allah alone. Now, the second is fearing death. Because it can come any moment. Long-term, hopes, that is not good. That is only from the shaitan. Shaitan comes and say, okay, you are only 40 years old, you are 30 years old, and mashallah, you still have life. Okay, this is from shaitan. No one knows when he dies. So, don't be a long hopeful person, but think always that I'm going to die now. So what are you going to do when you know that you're going to die now or tomorrow? You're going to work hard to correct your situation. So work hard now. And the third is, you have to know the merit and virtue of night prayers. It is very, very high, ya ikhwan. Wallahi. You hear the ayat of Surah Al-Furqan that we recited in the Salah. Allah Ta'ala praised them. والذين إذا خطبه الجاهلون قالوا سلاما، والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما. الله فريزي. وكانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told Ibn Umar, don't be like so and so. He used to stand for night prayers and he stopped now. So all this encourages you to know the virtue and merit of night prayer. Now, and the fourth thing that can makes you or make it easy for you to stand at night is love for the sake of Allah. Love Allah and love everything that you love only for the sake of Allah. If it is something that Allah loves, you love it. And of course you know that Allah loves His speech, the Quran. So you love it and you come to recite it. You know that Allah loves night prayers. So you love it and come and stand. And you come to recite His speech and before Him in standing at night prayers. And this is the best form of pleasing Allah Ta'ala. And also being kind and generous during the month of Ramadan, as Ibn Abbas said, as in the hadith agreed upon, that he was kind and generous. He was kind and generous, no doubt. But when Ramadan comes, he then become much, much, much more kind and generous than normal days, than him in the normal days. So you be like that. But again, as I said on the member, in Arabic, it is not, some people decide to delay their zakah, which is due in Sha'ban. Say, okay, we'll delay it until Ramadan so we can, the poor will, have advantage of it. Or he say, okay, my zakah is in Shawwal or Dhul Qa'dah or next Muharram. Let me put it now in Ramadan so people get advantage of it. I say, no, akhi. You should not do that. You should not delay it. You should not bring it forth. Leave it in its time because the poor people are poor in the whole year. And this wasn't found from the Salaf, ya akhwan. The Sahaba did not used to do this. And you are not that kind when you give out zakah. La akhi, this is... It's obligatory upon you. Allah obligated it on you. He, the one who gave you all this wealth. He told you to give 2.5% only. So even the 2.5% you want to be seen as a kind man, giving it, subhanallah. La akhi, you give the zakah on the day that it is due on. And in Ramadan, bring out of your own money to the poor. And by that you be kind and generous. You want to save your money and use the money of the poor people to show them that you are kind? Subhanallah. And that's wrong, ya akhwan. In Ramadan, you give out of your own money. And the zakah, leave it in its own time. If it is in Sha'ban, you give it out in Sha'ban. If it is in Shawwal, you give it in Shawwal. Because, ya akhwan, and that's why people begging in the streets. Yeah, money comes in Ramadan, but goes, finishes. And other than Ramadan, nobody gives nothing. That's why people begging. When in the, I remember that people here in Jeddah used to do this like 30 years ago. They did not used to do this. Delay the zakah until Ramadan or bring it earlier to Ramadan. No, they did not used to do this. But in Ramadan, they used to give out from their own buckets. They used to give out. Now, other than the zakah. So if you want, you give zakah in its time that it's due in, and give sadaqah from your own money. Now, Al-Muhallab ibn Yazid said about this hadith that Rasulullah used to be more generous than the wind, and more fast in giving out for fi sabilillah than the wind. He was faster than the wind. Now he said, and this shows the barakah, the blessing of the good deeds. As one good deed will lead you to another good deed. As they say, الحسنة تنادي بأختها والسيئة تنادي بأختها. The good deed calls its sister. The other good deed, come to this man. And when you do a bad deed, then it calls another bad deed, come to this man. So you need to do more good deeds so you'll be free from the bad deeds. نعم. الزين ابن المنير, one of the people who explained صحيح مسلم, he said because of Ramadan the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم became more kind and more generous, and it is because of that Jibreel used to come and recite the Quran with him. So two good things, Ramadan and reciting the Quran, so this makes the person more generous. Ibn Rajab said that Imam Shafi'i said, I like for the man to be more generous in the month of Ramadan, imitating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for the need of the poor people in Ramadan. But again, it's not delaying the zakah or giving it early. Naam. So let us be prepared for the month of Ramadan and prepare the proper and right tool for it. It's not food, it's not drinks, but it is prepare your schedule, your timing. I need to recite, let's say at least once, I need to finish reciting the Quran at least one time in Ramadan. Let us be serious today. We don't know if we live until Ramadan, we don't know if we're going to live until the next Ramadan. So let us now get يعني the fruit of our time. May Allah Ta'ala increase our iman and accept us from amongst the believers and forgive all of our sins and our parents' sins and families. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Any question related to the topic? Okay. Yeah, give me a question. Now, there is a hadith. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said who recited the Quran in lesser than 3 days, he did not understand. But the ulama said that this in the prayers or in the normal, yani in the other days, but in Ramadan it's the month of Quran. Naam. So when one recites the Quran, and as we said that they did not used to recite it like yani so fast. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Rahman Rahim. No, this is wrong. You will not understand, but because in Ramadan they free themselves from anything else and only Quran, they can recite the Quran in the whole month, in 3 nights or even in 1 night. They can. Now, okay, you want? What was it again? What was it? Uh-huh. Yeah. Ibn Qayyim. The statement of Ibn Qayyim. إِضَاعَةُ الْوَقْتِ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. Wasting time is much harder than death. لِأَنَّ إِضَاعَةَ الْوَقْتِ تَقْطَعُكَ عَنِ اللَّهِ وَالدَّارِ الْآخِرَةِ. Because wasting time will cut you from Allah, cut you meaning distance you away from Allah and the hereafter. والموت يقطعك عن الدنيا وأهلها. But death will cut you from this worldly life and the people of it. What it means? You got it? Alhamdulillah. I don't know if the brothers and sisters on Pal Talk have any question. No, I forget, was it? طيب no questions. والله تعالى أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. إن شاء الله تعالى in Ramadan I'm doing a book called شرح أحاديث الصيام، collecting all the أحاديث in scattered books which related to fasting and Ramadan. Inshallah, we are going to go through it during the 5 days of Ramadan. Inshallah, after the khutbah, we're going to study them. Inshallah, many of them you already know, but some of them, yani you might hear them the first time. Allah a'lam. Oh, there is a question from Paltalk. Assalamu alaikum. If you can't read Arabic, but don't understand it, is it more beneficial to read the translation during Ramadan? La, it is not more beneficial. As we said, that the Salaf even did not used to study the tafsir, the interpretation of it. So it is better to recite the Quran itself. If you can recite it in Arabic, that's great. You just recite it. Na'am. والله أعلم، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.